Good morning. How are we doing? Okay, let's try it again this side. How are we doing? Okay. Yeah, I know. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. As if you should have guessed that already, right? It's good to be here this morning. It's good to be bringing the Word to you. It's good to be excited about the Word. It's good to be seeing your smiley faces, your happy faces, as you see my smiley, happy face, as we get excited together over the Word. There we go. All right. Yeah, no, I think I'm going to have little things up here I'm going to throw at somebody today. Or not. Anyway, no, I'm joking. Double dare you. There we go. Chris, my ever helpful person. Okay. So last week we started and we did a commencement of Romans chapter 12 verse 1. And we looked at the purpose of God's mission is to glorify God. The way we treat others with mercy reveals God's mercy. It's knowing God's mercy to you leads you to live a life of mercy. And we have an unshakable security. And we should all get excited about that. Knowing we have an unshakable security. The point is we have to know who we are in Christ Jesus. If we don't know who we are in Christ Jesus, then we're lost. We think we know. And I've said it so many times, I'm going to say it again as a preface. We've been talking about the renewing of the mind. And know that God is totally for you. He's not against you in any shape or form, no matter your background or your walk of life, where you've come from or where you're going to. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He is totally 150% for you. That is unshakable to know that. And when we looked at Romans 12:1 last week, we said we're just going to do a little bit of an exegesis there and we're going to finish Romans 12:2. Can you imagine it would be cool if we just went through the whole Bible and just did verse by verse? We'd be here till kingdom come. And I know for some of you, you're already thinking kingdom better come very quickly then. So this morning though, I want to preach on rewired for worship. Yeah. And I'm not talking about singing. I'm not talking about singing. And some of the guys, you need to dial in now instead of dialing out. Because some of you need your brains rewired for actually worshiping as in song singing. Yeah. You could get a little bit more loud about that. Because why? Real men sing loud. Real men praise loud. Real men are on the forefoot and the front. They dance. For me, I dance. But whether you're dancing or dancing, who cares as long as you're doing it? I want to have a heart like David. Well, David danced for 21 miles in his jockeys. Well, no, maybe not. We can get the dancing part right, but just stay with the apparel. Yes, I just thought I'd make that clear, because no, Mark said we can run around in our jocks. No. Okay. I appeal to you, therefore. And we dwelt on therefore for a while, therefore, last week. Brothers, and meaning sisters too. By the mercies of God, I'm not going to go over it again, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Anybody confused about that? Do not be conformed to this world. Do not. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But, there's the but, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That, by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. What is good and acceptable and perfect. And it is perfectly good to God and it's perfectly good to us. But we know that when God cut a covenant with us, we get two covenants, syntheke, diatheke. Syntheke is when we cut one together, equal partners. God cut a diatheke, meaning the greater to the lesser, meaning that when the lesser breaks the covenant, the covenant is still not broken because he cut it, because he swore by his name, the greatest name above all names. My name sometimes doesn't mean much if I swear by my name because I'm human and I'm fallible. He's infallible. These are not in my notes. I don't know why I'm going there. Last week, live life. Life is life for us to live life. In living life, we also need to get to the place where we realize that our Christian walk is not meant to be incognito, which means undercover. We've had prophetic words in this church about us being a battleship, going forth, battle flag flying, everything going, little sick bay. We know there are people who need the sick bay every now and then, and they come and we help them and to grow and mature and get back on deck and man their guns and we go forward. Nowhere is we ever see Christianity as meant to be a submarine. I'm trying. As we would say in South Africa, I'm a glug glug, underwater, going silently. I just silently go everywhere. And then when you come up somewhere, you go, a periscope. Hi, what are you doing here? Oh no, I just love Jesus, I think. No, we have a lifestyle that says that for us. Nothing underground. God is radically God exalting. That's deep. He's the most exalting being in the universe. He created us to put Him on display. And we do that through a worship lifestyle. When we get together, we should be so exuberant and so excited. We stood and did the communion this morning when we thought about the broken body of Christ, the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin, the once and for all atonement, eternity. I love some of the prayers this morning and the songs and the words. You'll hear if you pay attention how they fit into what I've got to preach about this morning. Paul has an intention of showing us by God's mercies. Remember I said it was a very abbreviated version of chapters 1 to 11. Helping us to understand the living mercies of God that is given to us. But before we get to Romans 8:12, 8 to 20, he talks about a lifestyle of worship. He makes that the preeminent thing. Because if we do not worship God, we cannot live this way. We think it's all about, oh, our relationship together, because I can still be ugly to you, and that's okay. It's not. Because if I truly worship Him first, I will never be ugly to you. Or you to me. Yeah. Sounds like, oh no, so you won't know. The British Empire, go and check it up on YouTube. The guy laughs like that. Anyway, I just thought I'd just share that with you. Christian life of mercy towards people, but he unpacks a lifestyle of worship to God. We'll look at that this morning, and that's why we need to be rewired for worship, because we have a way we think. And guys are like, hey dude, it's like, it's not cool to raise your hands in church. No, it's very cool. If you don't, you could be the odd one out. I'm hoping that we one day are going to have, and this was the challenge for those who missed my last men's breakfast, that the men would come and we would fill the phone. We'd have a men's mosh pit, and heaven forbid that we should stage dive. Come on. This is an expansive, glorious, amazing God. And we want to... No. Oh well. Let me say this. There are so many do-gooders in the world today There are so many who seek to do good in the world without the design to bring people to God, to worship God. Well, I belong to this club and that club. I don't want to name clubs, and I want to do this and I want to do that. And I really want to help old ladies across the street and get cats out of trees and call Chris, because that's what firemen do. I'm joking. But that should be our lifestyle for us. Let me just make this statement. Slaking people's thirst on the way to hell is an exercise in futility. If it doesn't involve the design to slake people's thirst eternally, if it doesn't involve the design to slake people's eternal thirst in God. Enemy doesn't want me to get this out. I'm going to say it again. Slaking people's thirst on the way to hell is an exercise in futility. If it doesn't involve the desire to slake people's eternal thirst in God. You know, and I just, last Wednesday night, I was just standing, and it was an amazing time of prayer and worship and ministry, and I was just standing there just thinking, God, I'm so thirsty. I want so much more of you, God. And God answers prayers. So what does a living sacrifice mean? We're just going to break it down a little bit. This is still the introduction. We need to understand that living sacrifices in the Old Testament were largely for atonement. The death of a bull stood in for our bull, but we also know that the blood of bulls and goats cannot, it's impossible, my version says, to save us from our sins. If you don't believe me, Hebrews 10:4. And so Christ became the Lamb, the one and only, the first Adam, the last Adam, not second Adam, last Adam. There is nothing else thereafter. It is Jesus, 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 nothing else but Jesus. Jesus plus, there's Jesus plus nothing. Because He is all in all. He is the fullness of God. When we see that, we understand that when he died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," he meant that. When a guy's willing to die on a cross for me and says, "It is finished," I tend to believe him. When he said, "It is finished," he meant there were two things that were finished. Number one, his journey on earth was over. It is done. But secondly, the full sacrificial system was done with. He was the fulfillment of the tabernacle. There is no more. Because otherwise, once a year, we're all going to have to go, well, every day we're going to have to go and kill pigeons and all the other kind of stuff. And then once a year, we're going to have to go and do, and we would have a big open courtyard, and we'd have some special dude who's going to go in thing with a thing around his leg and bells on his dress and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus came and said, "It's finished. You don't need to do this anymore because I have done it all for you. I've taken your sin upon me." Can we just conceptualize or think about that for a while? I know I'm talking a lot here and not getting to anything. Number one, living bodies. This doesn't mean not your minds, just my body. No, we're all attached. You know, everything inside and outside is all together. Because our mind comes to play in the next verse we will see. Paul's saying that we've got feet and hands, and I think someone said that this morning. We have feet and hands. You are the feet and hands that Jesus is going to use. You cannot be a glug glug. You have to be the hands and feet and the eyes. And we've got to go around, and we've got to display, and we have to sow seeds, Frank. We have to continue to sow the seed of the gospel of the kingdom for Jesus Christ. It's all we have. I'm presented. I carry the living life of God inside of me. And the words I speak should be life to those around me. He doesn't care so much about muscular bodies. But it's funny how much diligence we will set in going to the gym so we can do this and we can diet and eat all the right foods and do them. But when it comes to eating the right food so we can build the right spirit up, we're slack. None of you, I know, I just thought I'd preach this. What is a get up and early and go to bed late, caring for people, being merciful, showing up with your body all intact? I know some of you come and you got that 10-cow stare, you know, 10-mile stare at the cow gate in the rain. It's like you got kicked out of bed and thrown into the car. Any day to sleep in on Saturdays, don't sleep in on Sundays. Because when we come together, we should be coming, not what can I get today, what can I give today? What can I offer today? It's a two-way street. Lord, what have you had for me? What can I give to you today? What can I give to my brothers today? What can I show mercy to you today? Lord, give me an idea. How can I do that for today? Physical presence, God's physical presence in people's lives. How much good or how much bad, says James, can be done with a little tongue, this little rudder. Drives this big ship. Sometimes we should just be like Hannibal Lecter and just put that big thing over our mouth. And my mother used to say to me, if you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all. Yes, Mama. Present our bodies as an act of worship. Let your body say how much you value God. Make your body say, God is my treasure. I delight. I'm just going to pick him out because sometimes I see Dom on the drums. And he's drumming and I just see he's not with us anymore. He's on another planet. And I look at the smile on his face and I know body's still bound earth, brain is heavenward. And he's just got the smile on his face and he's drumming and I know that he's just, he's gone. Praise God for that. And sometimes when we look at each other, and I know you go, we know you're also gone. As I call it, sometimes I'm standing when I'm preaching and I'll go, I'll see the Jonah effect. You know the Jonah? The whale swallowed? I call it the Jonah effect. So you feel the vacuum. Stay away. Come on. I'm taking way too long. We are to be living sacrifices. I said Old Testament, living sacrifices, they came and they died. There should be a time in our walk, in our Christian life, that we come along and I say, I am dead to Christ, dead to myself, alive to Christ. The guy that used to be is no longer. The new guy, here I am, amped for Jesus, powered by Jesus, grooving for Jesus. Testifying for Jesus. Living for Jesus. Of course, take up your cross daily. Follow me. We die to everything in our lives. Why? Because it becomes not about me anymore. Because I get the concept that He was the one who died. I didn't have to do anything. And am I shouting? I've just realized there's an echo in my voice. Sit down. Stop it. When people look at my living sacrifice, they should think, ha, that's the son of the king. Living holy. Another word for that in its context is righteous, which means in right standing with God. Are you in right standing with God? The same word in the Old Testament, meaning the sacrifice is set aside for God. Have you set yourself aside to say, God, I'm the sacrifice for now. I'm going to sacrifice this outer flesh and this inner peace. And I'm going to rise a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Man, I know that some of you have heard this in time and time, but this should go, yes! Come on, pretend you're at a hockey game and the Leafs are winning. Okay. Now let's just take that same enthusiasm and translate it here. Living acceptable to God. What does this, how does this add to holy? It simply makes God explicit. What is acceptable to God? The standard that God has set for Him is our standard. Because in Him we can all think, in Christ who strengthens me. living acceptable. Everything that I think, feel, that He calls my attention to is worthy and acceptable because it's acceptable to Him and it's acceptable to me. What kind of things make Him look valuable to me? Not me to look valuable to Him, because we already are the apple of His eye. He is totally for us. We have an unshakable security, an unshakable foundation. God displayed all His mercy by sending His Son. We are lavished. Think about the word lavished. What is? Oh, well, my wife bought me a bunch, or no, my husband bought me a bunch of roses. How about my wife when he bought, all, my husband when he bought, I'm trying to tell you a message, lady. All the roses in the shop. Well, yeah. Or how about even further, I bought her the flower shop. He lavished upon us His mercies. Thank you. And we embrace it by faith because we are saved by faith. And we treasure it in a lifestyle of worship. Because if we don't have a lifestyle of worship, it doesn't mean that much to us. It means we come on Sundays and we're on our best behavior and we've got our best clothes on. And then we behave like orphans the rest of the week. Doesn't freak God out. I think it doesn't do His heart much good, but we need people to see that He's valuable to us. So we are rewired for worship. You know, we can get into, those of you who've done psychology and all that, we can know how many times, and people tell me it takes 18 times to form a habit, and if I say your name when I meet you, if I forget your name, it's Alan, spelt with an E with two L's. If I forget that, if I just say it repetitively, by the time I see him next time, I'll, oh, hi, that's Peter. No, oh, it's Alan. Yeah. If we repeat it enough times, if we live a lifestyle of worship, it's just like going to the gym and doing the diet thing and running and swimming and whatever we do if we want our bodies to look lean and mean like me. What are you laughing at? What's so funny? Exactly, exactly. If I have a spiritual discipline, do you know that being spiritual is a discipline? We have to be disciplined in our spiritual because we need to get the right food into us. If we don't have any spiritual disciplines, then we come on a Sunday and we have a feast, and then we sleep it off. And by Monday, it's gone. I'm going to ask some of you at 2:30 today what I preached on this morning. And see how quickly that meal's digested and gone. Now don't get scared and run home. I'm joking, you know, I'd never do that. Maybe. Yeah. So how do we live like that? I'm so glad you asked. Do not conform to this world. It's an imperative. It's not like, well, if you like it or if you don't like it. It's like when we're teaching our children. Brush your teeth every day. And come out and they've got green fur, green fur growing off their teeth, and you realize they didn't pay attention to you. So what does the statement mean to you? Let's just Rolodex it for a little while. What does do not conform to this world mean? What does it mean to me? Because the truth is, we're in it, but we're apart from it. So how we get some tensions in truth? We fit in, or we don't fit in. Because some people, no, I'm just going to go around with the unsaved guys and I'm going to use bad language like them so they'll think I'm cool, I'm a cool Christian. You're a stupid Christian. You're not a smart Christian. Because they go, well, he's just the same as us. And we're not. We are, the Bible calls us, in Greek, idiotes. I know what you know, think that means. But that means unique. We are unique. Some versions say we are aliens passing through. And sometimes we behave like aliens and need to pass through. The world doesn't value God supremely. Do we value God supremely? It must come some sense of we're trying to fit in, but we don't. And then it says, do not conform to this world. And then Paul gets a little bit clever and he says, this is not the full scripture, I've just taken pieces of it. He says, I've become all things to all people, so that by all means I may win some. What does that mean? It means I should go and behave like they do? No. Not at all. But that's what we think. I'll go and do that now. Because we forgot about do not conform. Or he says, give no offense. Don't be offensive in anything you say. Okay, then we'll just be a seeker-sensitive church. I just want you to know, as long as I'm leading this team, and I have this team of men around me and women around me, we're never going to be a seeker-sensitive church. We're going to preach the gospel in its fullness. We're going to preach Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and everything contained within there. Jesus became an offense. You whitewashed sepulchres, you brood of vipers, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this little child. Just give no offense, just as I try to please everyone, blah, 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 that they may be saved. We cannot proofread scripture, we have to go and look at context of what Paul was saying. So what happened to do not be conformed to this world? The alternative, of course, is not to be conformed, because then we are truly rebellious against God. Both are true in Christianity, that this world today is so diverse and the expressions and forms are so different. But when we read this, do not conform, we should hear a trumpet blast from heaven. We should have a trumpet behind us echoing and saying to us, go into the world, go to your neighbors, go to your nations, go locally, go apostolically or translocally. Go and preach the word. Don't conform to what they're doing. Do not accept the cultural norm. Because when we accept the cultural norm, what we are saying, this thing is irrelevant. The holy word of God has now become irrelevant to us because we want to follow cultural norms. Then we slip into postmodern Christianity, who says this is not the inerrant word of God, it's just stories that are made up. Adam and Eve weren't really true. The parting of the Red Sea wasn't really true. Get a laugh. How could a guy die and rise again 3 days later? That's not true. And then we start accepting the cultural norm of postmodern Christian society. Because then this is just another good storybook. Where am I? What it is saying to us is live your life as citizens of the kingdom of God. Ephesians 2:19. So then, you are no longer strangers. So we're talking about Ephesians 2, it started off by saying, at one time you were children of wrath. You were not for God, you were against God. I don't know how more plainly to put it. She says, but now that Christ has come, you are no longer citizens, strangers, and so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. It means we have a place of belonging. We don't have to worry whether we fit in or we don't fit in, whether acceptable or not acceptable, because we have a place in the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, we've done this, in whom the whole structure, am I part of that structure? The whole structure being together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. I'm part of that structure. I'm part of the holy temple. You part of that temple. We are growing together. And you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by His Spirit. And that's why a stupid thing people can say, well, the Spirit of God has left this church. I don't care what church it is. The minute there are Christians gathered, the Spirit of God is there. We have to rewire our thinking. And then we sagely, it's hot in here. We sagely nod our heads and go, yeah, no, that sounds right. I don't know if I'm going to finish this today. How do we live like that? Jesus put it so beautifully for us. He said, my disciples are not of the world, but don't take them out of the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you. 1 Corinthians 5:9. Do not associate with sexually immoral, not the sexually immoral of the world, but the one who bears the name brother. And what we forget to see in all of that is we now want to bash sexuality and immorality and all that. And we actually forget that later on it also talks about being greedy, talks about being gluttonous, talks about being swindlers and idolaters. Well, that's a bad sex us. Yes, it is. That's a bad sin. This is a good sin. Sin is sin. There are no degrees of sin. If you steal $10 or you steal $1 million, you're still a thief. Let's just finish this. 1 Thessalonians 4, and to aspire to live quietly. 1 Timothy 4:2, live a quiet life. And then, of course, we have the tension that I spoke about. And against this backdrop, unfortunately, you have many denominations, and I grew up in one, so I know what I'm talking about, took 2 Corinthians, go out from amongst them. Don't associate with them. So as a child, I was not allowed to go to movies. No. And when we got a TV, we not allowed to have TVs. Why? Because it's the eye of the devil. And we've got to pay attention to what movies we watch and what we watch on TV and what we see and where we, you know, all that kind of stuff. I didn't do, what's a grade 12? What's the dance you do here? Prom. We call it a matric dance, so that's why I'm not sure. I didn't have a prom. I didn't go to the prom. Because Christian boys didn't go to proms because dancing, you know what it leads to. We were not allowed to swim on a Sunday. Durban, South Africa. I was a beach bum. I surfed. No swimming on Sunday, no surfing on Sunday. Because it's a day of rest. Tell a 15-year-old that. He's got more energy pent up inside of him. I already played a game of soccer in the morning, game of rugby in the afternoon. I'd actually stayed up late in the night. I was at church in the morning. I've got so much energy, I don't know what to do with it, but it's church tonight, so you need to rest today, my boy. As a young Christian, I knew more about what I wasn't allowed to do than what I was allowed to do. Rules and regulations and don't do this and don't do that. And just somebody just tell me what I can do, please. But against this backdrop, we see Ephesians 5:11 says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Oh, we've got to be seeker sensitive. Don't just say anything. Don't say words. Don't say the word abortion because that'll upset somebody. I'll kill a few religious cows this morning. Don't say the word abortion. Don't talk about immorality. Don't talk about homosexuality. Don't talk about premarital sex. Don't talk about drunkenness or greed or swindlers or gluttony or any of that. I know you can talk about greed and gluttony. That's okay. But the other stuff don't talk about. Yeah, last week, I don't know if some of you got it or didn't get it, so I'm just going to say it again. Sin is sin. Sin, we say our sins are forgiven. That's a nice truth. But there's attention to it and understanding. My sins were punished. They had to be punished. They were punished on the cross. I am forgiven. People are forgiven. So when it comes to All these things, talking about abortion and homosexuality and gays and lesbians and greed and premarital sex, those are all sin. God does not hate the sinner. He does not enjoy the sin. He actually hates the sin. But He loves the people. I want to make this so clear to you, because I've had so many conversations and listened to the other pastors in the area and what their church thinks. Other churches think, well, because you shouldn't do this, you hate gays. Where did you get that? Where did you understand that from? No, it's the lie of the devil in your head. That's why this needs to be rewired for worship. He hates sin. The father hates sin because it damages his children. That's why he hates it. I hope I've been clear on this. We're a truth church. We stand for the Word and the Spirit of God. You cannot separate the two. It's not like you can get divorced. Divorce the Word. We're a Word church. We're a Spirit church. I'm so far behind here this morning, but there's just certain things we need to get into our spirit to have a lifestyle of worship, that we need to understand stuff. God hates, cannot stand gluttony, just like He can't stand homosexuality and abortion. It started off many years ago as a little secret, then over the years became a cultural norm. And now in America, they're killing born babies. They've got a fancy name for it. It's murder. Goodness sake. We need to know what we believe. That we can live in full communion with our Father. That we can worship the King. A lifestyle of worship. And the problem is that when we explain and we understand that our sin was punished, people are forgiven, that the worship is a lifestyle. It's not a sugar-coated pull. I'm trying not to sugar-coat it this morning. I'm trying to just speak truth into your lives this morning. And when we take the sugar-coated pull and we say, this is the lifestyle of worship that I want to live. And then we get to 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Oh, you mean I'm not just going to get an easy ride? No. Be transformed so we can discern what God is calling us into. I'm going to try and do this quickly. What should we do? Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we need to renew our mind, rewire our brain. And the question is, remember that we are dead to sin. We have to say we are dead to sin. We have to say there's so many tensions. Let's have a look at these two scriptures quickly. Romans 6:6. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. So if we have been crucified, the body of sin has been brought to nothing. But what we try and do is we keep going down. We try and digging this thing up and bringing it back to life again. We have to leave it dead. Nothing, so we would no longer be enslaved to sin. 6:11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We should wake up every morning, because unless we get the discipline into our head, we won't realize I'm dead to sin, I'm alive to Christ. And when you start to doing that, you will renew your mind and realize sin has no hold on me. When the temptation comes, we can with bravado and boldness and everything go, no, I'm not doing that. Let's crook the books together. We'll make it work. No, I'm not doing that. Let's go down and act like idiots. No, I'm not doing that. I saw a documentary, sometime, Ronald Reagan, John Hinckley Jr. tried to shoot him. You know why? Do you know why? He wanted to impress Jodie Foster. No, that's the truth. He thought, if I killed the president, that would impress this girl who I'm infatuated with. Weird. You know why? Because our brains are depraved. That's why they need rewiring. No, my brain's not depraved, Mark. 1 Corinthians 5:6. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse the old leaven that you may be a new lump. As you really are unleavened, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been saved. Do you know how much poetry and language and truth is in this sentence here? If you understand the Jewish faith, when it comes to Passover, they take everything that has got leaven in it out of their homes. Not stick in a little cupboard, they take it out. I've got a friend who works in the stores in Richmond Hill and tells me when it comes to Passover, he's got to go and take stock and take everything with leaven out of it, out of the shop, for when the Jews come in to do their thing. I know it's law and legalism, but that's how devoted they are to that. We need a little bit of that devotion. I know this is a really bad example, but it's like when you own a dog. Dear Cafe. I still keep being called Coco Cafe, so it shows you how it's still in my brain. When we got Cafe, it was such an exciting time. But the problem is, there's all the nice things about having the dog in the house and all that, and the dog is there, and it's, oh, isn't she cute, isn't she this, isn't she that, all the other. But you know what? The dog also puts demands on you. Play with me, feed me, take me out, run with me, do this for me. Do that. And by the way, don't stay out too late, because you do know that I have needs. And so we're learning that all over again now. Come on, we've got to go home. It's Louise's dog. So here's the point. But when the dog died, we cried. We were free agents. We didn't have to run around and do all this stuff. And when we die to ourselves, and when we put to death sin, we don't have to run around and wonder, well, what am I going to do next? How am I going to do this? When am I going to do this? It's going to make demands. I mean, no, it can't. Because I'm dead to sin and I'm alive in Christ. I live a lifestyle of worship. I'm just going to jump out a whole bunch of stuff here. So what's wrong with your mind? It needs rewiring. Our minds are depraved. If you don't think you believe me, there's Romans 1:22. For though they knew God. For although they knew God. This wasn't like shame. Unregenerate sinners here, for they knew God. They did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Our brain is deprived. And that's what I tell you. You need to guard your brain, your mind, against the wiles and the schemes of the devil, because you think he's going to come like a big fiery dragon. I'm going to recognize him. I'm going to see him. But he's not. He's going to come again like the old serpent of old, and he's going to creep in, and you're going to be going, la, 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 this is all God said. No, God didn't say. Let's take it against the plumb line of what God says. This is the plumb line. Yeah? Plumb line. If it's God didn't say it here, then it's not true. But God told me. Yeah, no, look, me, I prefer to listen to what God says. No, but God said it's okay if I just cheated on my taxes, because that would help. I've got to test me for that, but not today. How do our minds get renewed? Transform, the metamorphosis commences at salvation. And then we get saved by the mercies of God, as we read. The next step is water baptism. If there's people here that you've been saved for I don't know how long, you need to be baptized in water. Why? Because it's God's word. It's an obedient act of His. Not I'm a glug glug. Public. I met a lady, she'd been saved, she told me, she'd been saved for 25 years. I said, when were you baptized? She'd never been baptized. I was like, what? Went and ministered in another place once. 20, 30 people got saved through the course of Alpha. I said, when did you baptize? Oh, we don't believe in baptism. What? Did you read this? Well, no, we like to preach out of a book. Which book? Well, I don't know, whoever writes the book. How about use this? We get baptized. Spiritually circumcised, our sin is removed. We die to ourselves. If you hear nothing today, die to yourself. Go out of here and think about somebody else and don't think about how you feel. Well, his word was so harsh today. How can he say that stuff? Because it's in the Bible. I didn't say it. I'm just repeating what's in the word of God. Oh, man. Watching a washing of a regeneration, of the renewal of the Holy Spirit. I'm alive in Christ Jesus. Buried with Christ, baptized into His death, risen again to His life, filled with the Spirit of God. Powerful, mighty warriors, bridge builders, crossing the bridge for Jesus. I'm getting excited. Okay, let me just do this. How do our minds get renewed? Setting our minds on things of above. Colossians 3:1. I don't have time to read all this. On things of the Spirit. Wash us with the water. First the natural, then the spiritual. On food for our minds. Acts 2:42. On living according to the Spirit. Romans 8:13. Go and read those scriptures. Go and get them into your heart. Our food for our minds. Acts 2:42. And you wonder, we want to be like the people in Acts. But you have to remember something like that. In Acts 2:42, they were devoted to the Word of God. Devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship, and to prayer. Means they all came together and did that stuff together. That's why they had the church. So they stepped out. We died to this whole legal system that we were under. We are now alive in Christ Jesus. We're living in the fullness. Whew. I'm very hot up here. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit. That's what we got to do. This is not by osmosis. It's not just going to happen. We have to make a choice to walk in this. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us is willing to work. We got to go, yeah, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we, with all unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. There's more for us. It's not status quo. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Through objective external word, the word of God, the written word of God, the subjective eternal word, because this is all messed up inside here, needs rewired up here, needs this change. So we actually live in that. Our part is cooperation with the Holy Spirit. I know there was a lot in there, and I know you're all keen, the ladies are out there. Lifestyle of worship. Singing songs is just the start. Men, women, teenagers, children, singing songs is just the beginning. If you think it's all about singing songs, rewire your mind. Renew your mind. Because if we do not renew our mind, our Christian walk will be ineffective and useless. I just thought I'd just say it like it is. We do not rewire this. How should I live a lifestyle glorifying, bringing glory to God? That people don't have to ask questions. They'll say, "She's that guy, he's something different about him. I'm not sure, but there's something different about him." So, Alan, what's so different about you? Well, I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. He forgave all my sins. I've been forgiven. He took my sins all away. What? Yeah, let me share it. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Holy Spirit as you work in us. As we are changed from the inside out. Help us to rewire our brain. Help us, Lord God, to live fully for you. Total living sacrifices. Our bodies and minds renewed for you, Lord. Let us be great reflectors of your glory, Lord. Father, I ask that you would show us areas in our minds that need to be rewired, areas where it needs to be renewed, places that need to be strengthened, thought patterns that need to be adjusted, amendments that we need to make, Lord God, that we could live fully for you, Lord. That we would know that we have an unshakable security in you, God. That we are your children. That you are totally for us. You are not against us. That you want to bless us abundantly, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.